Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Soul of Basketball is the name of his new book, the epic showdown between LeBron, Kobe, Doc, and Dirk that saved the NBA. And, of course, he's from Sports Illustrated. Hi, Ian. How are you?
Hey, great. How you doing, guys?
We're doing great. Hi, Ian. I got to tell you, I'm intrigued just alone by the title of your book. Tell us a little bit more about The Soul of Basketball.
It's all about that first year after LeBron left Cleveland, went on the decision, announced he was taking his talents to South Beach. And really it revolves around, it's not just about these two guys, but it surely revolves around the relationship that formed between Pat Riley and LeBron. And it kind of started that night on the tarmac in Miami when LeBron landed after the decision and Riley's waiting for him out on the tarmac. You can imagine it's a really warm night. And Pat Riley told me that he could feel LeBron's weight leaning on him as they embraced to meet. And he could tell how broken up LeBron was by the whole thing, by how the decision had gone and the letter from Dan Gilbert just savaging him. And that was the start of a relationship that really changed everything, because the NBA was in real trouble. Their best player, their most talented star, LeBron, was hated by everybody after that TV show, after the way he left Cleveland. He was desperate to learn how to win. And in Miami, he did learn how to win, and he ends up going back to Cleveland, as you guys all know, and he made everything right again. But it's all based on what happened during that season when things look so bad for not only him, but really for the future of the league.
Ian, there's an interesting part in the book, and it's also with Jackie McMullen of ESPN, where Pat is livid about LeBron leaving. And he said he had this great plan and team could have won 5 or 6 championships. And then he sat back and he thought about it. And I thought this was really interesting. Riley said, you'll never be accepted in your hometown if you don't go back and try and win a title. Otherwise, you'll go back there and have a scarlet letter on your back. You'll be the greatest player in the history of mankind. But back there, nobody's really going to accept you. And that clearly is important to LeBron because, you know, he bleeds. He's got Akron, Ohio tattooed on his body. So that was important to him. Let's look ahead.
No doubt.
So when we look ahead here, this offseason coming up, he can opt out. He can become a free agent. What would the image be if LeBron stayed? What would the image be if he left? Would it tarnish a legacy if he left? Would it seal one if he stayed? I'm not exactly sure what to think about that.
I'm not sure either. I think we all knew what he was doing to that when he left the first time. He had not fulfilled the mission. He hadn't done what he set out to do. And the way he left was just frankly horrible. He came back and made everything right this time. He played for something bigger than himself. He made it, as Pat Riley told me, he made it right again. So if he were to leave now, having won the championship for Cleveland, knowing that maybe the relationship with Dan Gilbert isn't the greatest, based on all of the history between them, and only having a few years left in the game and wanting to find a way to fulfill himself as a champion, find a place where he can win a few more, maybe people will look at it in those terms now. They won't look that he's running out on Cleveland so much as that he did right by Cleveland, and now he's just going to try to fulfill himself and take on Michael Jordan. I think no matter what, where he goes or what he goes on to do, he will always be Cleveland's player. You know, like how in baseball they always ask what hat is he going to wear when he goes into the Hall of Fame if he played for several teams. No matter what happens, LeBron is always going to be Cleveland's guy no matter what.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Hey, I want to go back to your book for a second because, you're talking about that moment when they met on the tarmac, but that scene was kind of set. I always wondered how Pat was able to convince LeBron that was the right choice because I go back to the day when a little bit before LeBron made that decision where there were all of these teams flying into Cleveland. They were meeting in the IMG building where LeBron had an office in there with his group. And what I was told was Pat walked – first of all, Pat's presentation, there was a video that he did for LeBron that was out of this world. And then he dropped his rings down and said, hey, is this something you want? Where the Cavaliers really went out of their way. Didn't they do like a Matt Groening video, Jeff?
Simpsons.
Yeah, they had a Simpsons video with him in it, which was crazy. But I want to go back to that relationship between Pat Riley and LeBron and how that kind of – how did LeBron end up saying, yes, Miami's where I want to go?
I think a big part of Pat Riley's presentation, and in the book, Pat Riley lays out the whole thing of how the whole meeting and how it went and the different things they talked about. But the heart of it was listing all of the teams that had won championships, and most of them had three stars on them. And he said to LeBron, look, you haven't won yet. If you want to win, this is how you do it. You can't do it by yourself. And if you look back, the best player that LeBron had played with in Cleveland had been Mo Williams. The guy, Mo Williams was the one guy who had made an all-star team, and he'd made it as an alternate. And Pat was saying, look, all these other guys, he listed them. There was a long list. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, James Worthy, Larry Bird, Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale. 20 different teams, something like that. He listed them all and said, that's what you need. You need Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. You need to come to Miami to win a championship. And his was the only team that had the cap space to sign all three guys at the same time. And that gave him a huge advantage as far as convincing LeBron that he could win a championship in Miami.
So can I? And I'm anxious to get to the book. So that's gonna be fun. And but now you're sitting here, and LeBron has lost a first round game for the first time in a long, long time. He'd won 21 straight. People are freaking out a little bit more nationally, I think, than here in Cleveland because we've seen him pull too many rabbits out of hats. What should the Cavs fan base be thinking about this team this year in the playoffs?
To me, this is LeBron's biggest challenge. And I'm with you. They're going to win this series. I mean, how could you not watch the guy all these years and think that they're going to lose? Nothing's guaranteed or anything, but right. You have to say that they're probably going to win this series. And it's just really interesting to look at LeBron now in an underdog role because that's where he is. There's no Kyrie Irving. The second best player is Kevin Love, very good, all-star, that's fine. But the rest of the team, it's a bunch of nobodies, and nobody's really nationally has ever really heard of. I mean, all good young players, but not accomplished by any means. And can LeBron, in his 15th year, lead these guys to the NBA Finals, to an eighth straight NBA Finals for him, while having played every game and leading the league in minutes after all this time in the NBA? I think people rally around those kinds of stories. You know, the old guy trying to do something, trying to prove he can still win, passing on all his tricks to the younger players, showing leadership in that way. As the playoffs go along and the longer the Cavaliers stay with it, I think they're going to become America's team, and people are really going to rally around these young guys looking up to one of the greatest players of all time and trying to go far. It's going to be a different perspective on LeBron, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And if it goes well, I would think, Ian, one that would make him think this is a great place to be, especially
if the narrative terms like America's team.
If you the narrative that you just threw out there, why would you want to leave that? So that'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Right now in the East, there is not a super team. There's no team that has more than two stars on it. Like out West, it's not like that. The Warriors have four. But in the East, everybody's got two stars. And Cleveland's got two, Kevin Love and LeBron. And so if it's a poker game and you say, I've got two of a kind, well, there's only one hand that has the ace in it, and that's LeBron. LeBron, if everybody's got two stars and your team's got LeBron, you have a chance against everybody. Now, as far as what he's going to do in the future, I think it's going to, just based on everything he has said and the way he has acted, I think everything comes down to winning, and it's not going to come down to go to L.A. for the movie business or to get into entertainment. He's going to have plenty of time to worry about that after he's retired. You can tell by the way he works, the level of fitness, the intelligence with which he plays. All he cares about is winning right now. And so winning and having a chance to do something that's really meaningful on the court, I think that's what it's all about for him.
Ian Thompson joining us, the soul of basketball, the epic showdown between LeBron, Kobe, Doc, and Dirk that saved the NBA. What do you think LeBron's relationship with Pat Riley, or I guess from Pat Riley's eyes, because you talked to him for the book, what is that relationship? And I know Jeff touched on what he said about him having to come back. What do you think that relationship is like now?
I don't think there is any relationship right now. I don't think they talk. They're rivals. LeBron plays for another team. Pat Riley did send a text to LeBron just as Game 7 started in 2016 of the NBA Finals. Hmm. He wanted LeBron to see it afterwards and it said, win and be free. And that's... I think, as far as I know, the last time that Riley reached out to him, and he never heard back from LeBron after that. But Riley told me they're going to retire LeBron's number someday, sooner than later, in Miami. And I would think that as the years go on, from Pat Riley's point of view, that he would want to have a strong relationship because they meant so much to each other. They were only together for 4 years, but look at what they accomplished. They made four straight NBA finals. More than that, the most talented player in the history of the game learned how to win. And he was able to use that education and bring it back with him to Cleveland and teach everybody in Cleveland how to win. And look what it's done for the league. The league that was in so much trouble back then in 2010-11, financially and in terms of the popularity of the most talented player. Look at the league now. So much of it has to do with what those two guys did together in Miami. So I would think that there's a future there between them of having a relationship.
And Ian, last thing. It also didn't hurt Pat at all, you know, because he had gone from the Knicks down to Miami, won with D-Wade and Shaq, and then kind of needed to reinvent that organization, and LeBron helped him do that.
He was desperate, too. LeBron was desperate, but Pat was, too.
Yep.
I mean, when you think about the two of them embracing on the tarmac that night of the decision, LeBron was desperate to win. LeBron was desperate to fulfill his future. And Pat was desperate to get back to his past, you know, to get back to the guy that dominated the 1980s and got the Lakers to the NBA Finals just about every year. He was desperate for that. He was desperate for another Magic Johnson. And he found that in LeBron. And so they eat. You're right. You're totally right. They both got something out of it, and the whole league benefited from it.
All right, Ian, where can we get the book?
Any bookstore, or you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you like. It's on sale today. Today's the first day.
Outstanding. Nice. Ian, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to reading the book. And talking a little bit more about maybe some basketball with you down the road, too. Ian Thompson from Sports Illustrated. Thank you, Ian.
I look forward to that.
Thanks,
man. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Ian Thompson, great interview there. Soul of Basketball, the epic showdown between LeBron, Kobe, Doc, and Dirk that saved the NBA. Of course, he works for Sports Illustrated, the book now on sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.